Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal. This is a show about stock market investing through the millennial lens, as viewed through the millennial lens. It's a live trading desk. Those of you who follow me know sometimes I get interrupted. Today we started a half an hour early because of what we're doing on the trading desk sometimes gets in the way. But what I'm doing here is I'm trying to share with you real-time information off of a real trading desk and coming at that information from the angle of risk management along with fundamental research of trends in individual stocks. And so we marry the two on our trading desk. We do the fundamental work. We find out what trends we want to be long, what we want to invest in over time. But we use millennial execution tools to help us manage risk. And today is a show about managing risk. And it's not a fun show, I'll be honest with you. It's not a show I want to be having. I want to be, counting up how successful we are and how much money we're making. But there are days when you've got to consider managing risk first. And when we get new risk-on opportunities, which we update on our website, rosenthalcapital.com. We always update that real-time risk-on, risk-off monitor right there on the homepage for you. It tells you step-by-step how our algorithms view the behavior of the market through the lens of the five big indexes, the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ 100, small caps, and mid caps. And we use the ETFs of all five of those as our investing vehicles, and we use that the data from those ETFs to make our decisions. So let's just step back for a minute. So obviously today the market's down big. And so what we have to do is look at our algorithms and figure out, is this normal volatility we have to live with in this particular uptrend, or is this the death of the uptrend? And the best way to do that is to just use the algorithms, look at where our stops are, see how far away we are from the stops, and then execute accordingly. I'm never going to really know what the answer is. All I know is, based on the algorithm, risk is too high at this point for me to carry positions, so I go back to cash. Or the algorithms say to me, hey man, you got to make it at least one more day, because this is normal volatility. And when you start a new uptrend, like the one we're starting, if this is the start of a new uptrend, you've got a lot of overhead that you've got to get through. It's a different type of beast than when you're in a steady uptrending market that's just churning out quarters and half percent increases every day. You live for those. Those are the easy trades. This we knew was going to be tough getting into it, and it's why we listed on our website, and if you follow me on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report, we've been talking about the last week or so how we have to be cautious on this most recent risk-on entry point. That after a dramatic decline in October, the first entry point, the first risk-on opportunity usually ends up being a very difficult opportunity. Usually, first of all, the statistics show that more often than not, we're stopped out at break-even or slight loss. So statistically speaking, we know this particular entry point is more dangerous, so we certainly don't want to have, a maximum position size on it. We've been preaching that for the last week. I hope you've been listening, because it's going to help you deal with the volatility of today. And I manage different portfolios here, my own personal capital, and I split that into different types of vehicles, whether some of them are very conservative, where all I do is use the big indexes. And so I move money in and out of the big indexes using our algorithms. And then I have more aggressive portfolios where I'm buying individual stocks as well as the big indexes. And so, on my conservative side of my portfolio, it's much easier emotionally to handle what's going on today. I'm not overextended. It's a sell-off. It's natural. It's coming back down to, you know, major points that need to hold if this is going to be a good uptrend. But in the more aggressive side of my portfolio, I'll be honest with you, I'm sucking wind. It's hard to get through this. I've had to cut it down a little bit, taking some losses. But you've got to do it. You've got to protect capital first. So at the beginning of every new cycle, the volatility is the greatest. And so it's that tug of war. You know, when do I put a lot of money to work at the start of a new cycle? When do I get conservative? And I've been saying for the last week, you need to be conservative because it's going to be difficult. And this is the example. Exhibit A, today is difficult. Yesterday, market sell-off wasn't that big of a deal. Fed had their Fed announcement. Everybody knew what it was going to be. Nothing really changed there. The market was down a little bit and had a nice close at the end of the day. Now, today, it's a washout. The NASDAQ's down almost 2%. The S&P's down 1%. Small caps are down almost 2%. The Dow's down a little less than 1%, right? Mid caps are down 1.25%. That's not the kind of action you want to see at the start of a new risk on entry point. So let's go look at each index and see what would have to happen for us to be stopped out. Now, the S&P and the Dow are still the best looking indexes. When we look at our algorithm, the stop on the S&P part of our portfolio is 273.78. That's what it is today. That stop changes. Let me take a moment out of this podcast to remind you that I'm talking about my algorithms and I talk about my risk tolerance. You have to determine for yourself the type of investor you want to be, how aggressive or conservative you want to be, and you should figure out for yourself where your stop should be. Because my stop changes. It's a dynamic, volatility-based algorithm that tells me where my stops are. And I can't share it with you on a minute-to-minute basis. But I'm sharing it with you right now. So ballpark, you can figure out your own area of stop. But 273.78 is where I'd be stopped out of the S&P position right now. Which is interesting because that's below the 200-day moving average. Right? So most people are using the 200-day as their stop. And so we like to use a little bit of an offset just to make sure that we don't get whipped around the 200-day. The 200-day is trading at 276.19. 273.78 is our stop. If you remember, I originally said 270 was incredibly important. It held the 270 area, went higher. We raised our stop to 272. I think that was yesterday I talked about that. And now the stop is up to 273.78. The S&P is trading 277, so there's still a lot of room there. So chances are I'm going to have a portion of my portfolio still invested at the end of today, no matter what happens. It would have to be some catastrophic event that would get me out. I'm going to have to live through some more of this volatility and risk some more of my capital. Same thing's true with the Dow. The Dow is the best performing index. It rocketed above the 50-day moving average. Now it's just pulling back to it. And my stop there is going to be, again, an offset of the 50-day. I've helped you avoid the NASDAQ 100 so far. If you see on our website, hashtag, or RosenthalCapital.com, on our risk on, risk off monitor, we are risk off the NASDAQ 100. And so far, so good. It hasn't really gone anywhere. But we did offer some thoughts on where we would add some risk other than the NASDAQ 100. And so we're focusing on our favorite groups, and I'll go over that a little bit later in the show. We like to try to identify trends and then invest in those trends, and we use ETFs that focus on those trends as our way to play it. But right now, we're not in the NASDAQ 100, and it's coming back down below the 200-day, and it's in the process of closing the gap from the big up day because of the midterm elections. And it's not in a position to get us long. We're going to be out of that asset for now. And don't forget that has a big exposure to Apple, and Apple's earnings story seems to be in question. And so any big ETF that carries a lot of Apple, like XLK, you know, is problematic right now, and we're avoiding that. So we're focusing our technology investments on other groups that don't have Apple exposure. Then we go over to the small cap index. And I think I mentioned this on the last call or maybe the call before. The first buy signal off of the bottom after a major sell-off usually results in a small gain, if we're lucky. And very often we get stopped out for a loss. It's very rare that we have a huge gain. And this is why I don't like to put a lot of capital to work on a new entry after a big sell-off, because the reward isn't quite worth the risk. So here we are today. If the small caps close here, we'll be stopped out of the position at a gain. We hit a raise stop a couple days ago. We book a little profit. We raise our stop. It comes down and tests the stop. If it closes below that stop, which right now is 154.15, we'll be out of the trade by the end of the day. But it is imperative. Well, let me just hop over to mid caps. Mid caps are performing a little bit better than small caps, but the chart patterns are fairly similar, although the stop on mid caps is lower. So the only index in jeopardy of being stopped out based on this morning's volatility is the small cap index. The Dow, the S&P, and the mid caps are not near their stops right now. So I hope that gives you some flavor for how we would manage our risk. You know, things can change dramatically by the close. Stops move around, so, you know, it might change, and I'll update you again tomorrow at 12 o'clock. But for right now, I don't like the weakness, but statistically speaking, it's not close enough to stops for me to dramatically change my exposure. I will go through my portfolio at the end of the day, methodically looking at positions and cutting out anything that is not performing. If it's a single stock or if it's an ETF of a group that's hitting a stop, I'll be reducing position sizes. But chances are I'll still be long the S&P, the Dow, and the mid cap, because that's what the algorithms are saying. And so let me just say that we have a lot of cross currents at the moment. It makes it very difficult to invest, and it's why I've been calling for caution here. And the cross currents are these three pieces of information I'll share with you about trading and the algorithms. Number one, statistically speaking, when the markets are down big in a short period of time, the first risk on entry point is very difficult and the rewards are usually muted. Therefore, if I'm looking at positions, whenever I put money to work, I say I want to put the most amount of money to work when the reward can be the biggest. And I want to temper my enthusiasm when reward is minimal. And so since I don't know what's going to happen next, all I can do is manage capital based on statistically speaking what the reward versus risk is. And so right now, the reward is muted and the risk is still great, and therefore position sizes should be moderated. This is called risk management. It's the most important tool of the millennial stock market for a whole host of reasons. I won't go off on a rant right now, but liquidity completely evaporates when the market starts going down. If you don't manage your risk correctly, you wake up a day or two later and you've blown a hole in your net worth. You're like, how the heck did that happen? And it really puts you behind the eight ball and you start not making the right decisions. So managing a portfolio starts with risk management in the millennial age. So we have these cross currents. We have a difficult period, but we have risk on. So we got to put some capital to work. Because I don't know. I mean, I never know. The whole market could rip to a new high for all I know between now and the end of the year. And our algorithm says, put some risk on. So we're doing it. But we have the 200-day and the 50-day moving average of the S&P in a downtrend. It's been like that for 11, 12 days now. And that could be dangerous. But let's take a look and see what we're at right now. Hold on a second. Yeah, Yeah, the 200-day is in a very slow decline on the S&P, although a flat decline. I mean, it's tiny, tenths of points that it's in a decline. But it's been in a decline for 12 days, and that makes me concerned. That's generally a time where the markets can be real dangerous, and so I got to keep a tight leash on what I'm doing. Now, here's I'm going to throw another curveball at you. And this is what I've been grappling with as I try to determine how much capital to put at risk. At the very same time that I'm telling you that the first entry after a downtrend is usually muted from a reward standpoint, and I'm telling you that the 200-day and the 50-day are in downtrends, which is usually very dangerous, I will tell you that when a new risk-on entry hits its first target within 4 days, that's usually very bullish. And on the big up day, which was 2 days ago, we hit our second target, suggesting more profits should be booked and stops raised again. That's usually very bullish. If you're hitting targets quickly on the new risk on signal, usually means the market's going higher. So I really don't know which of these statistical pieces of information are going to pull through. And it makes me nervous. I don't like putting a lot of capital to work when the statistics are all arguing with each other. And so I've got to manage my risk. So I hope that wasn't too convoluted, but I'm just sharing with you different statistical facts that come out of our algorithm that help explain why I've been calling for caution at this new risk-on opportunity. And I'll try to update you later today. Here's the last piece of information I'll share with you on this topic. Whenever I hit stops, I will not stop position out in the morning, particularly not in this market. I need to see where the market's closing before I know that the stop is real. Because too often, there are stop hunting algorithms that try to take me out of positions during the day. And so I'm going to risk a little bit more of a loss. I'll risk a little bit more of a loss into the close. If the thing's imploding, that's just the way it goes. Because statistically speaking, more often than not, by the end of the day, the assets are higher and they're above the stop. And I need to maintain the integrity of the algorithmic process. And I can't have it ripped away from me in morning trades. So the afternoon trading and where the market closes is much more important to me than the histrionics that go on in the morning. Now, I said to you all on Twitter, if you watched, that the open didn't matter to me. It was the 10:30 to 11:30 period in the market that really matters. And that was a failure. 10:30 to 11:30, we had a double bottom, and it failed at 11:30, went lower by 12:30. So that's disappointing. That kind of suggests to me the market will be lower at the end of the day. But I really don't know. And very often that 2:30 to 4 o'clock, move in the market is the key. So we'll see where we are, and I'll update accordingly. Follow us on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report, to get updates between 3:30 and 4, if there's anything to update. I also put something up on Twitter I thought you all should read and think about in the midst of a difficult market environment. I put up one of my favorite quotes, and the quote is this: "Fate whispered to the warrior, you cannot withstand the coming storm. And the warrior whispered back, I am the storm. I am the storm." Think about that and live by it. Don't let fate push you around. Don't let the market push you around. And that's what gets me to rule number 5 on my list of investing that I'm sharing with you, and I'm writing a book for my children. I have a 5-year-old son and a 2-year-old daughter. Well, at least she turns 2 in December. And I'm going to share with them this investing knowledge and life knowledge when they're 18. I'm writing the book now. I'm going to write it for the next 13 years for my son. And there's an investment part of this book, and I'm going to share some of these thoughts with you. And investing rule number 5. It really, really affects today's activities. Figure out your investing plan when the markets are closed and the TV is off. And then follow that plan religiously during trading hours. Map out your plan before trading begins, because trading is designed to get you off the bus. It's designed to make you second guess yourself. It's designed to play on your fear, greed, impulse. Make your plan and stick to it and live with the plan you came up with before trading hours. That plan will always be better than what you come up with during trading hours. I guarantee that. There are not many guarantees in the world of investing, but I will guarantee you that. The decisions and the plan you make before trading hours with the TV off will be more effective and more successful over time than any changes to that plan you make in the middle of trading. God, I wish I could live by that. It's hard, guys. It's hard. It's one of those things I'm constantly trying to do as an investor and a trader. I do this show as much for you as for me, because I'm trying to keep myself honest and I'm trying to remind myself what I have to do every day. And for instance, in the midst of a sell-off, I mean, your just finger is itchy on the trigger to get rid of positions. But I've got a plan. I know my stops, and I don't execute on those stops until later in the day. And that's just it, guys. Sorry if it doesn't feel good. Get up and leave the desk. Go for a walk on the beach. Go play with an adorable 2-year-old. That's what I do. She reminds me what life is all about. It helps me make much better trading decisions. All right, I thought I'd wrap up the show with some thoughts on where we're focusing our research. I always like to end the show on research. And so, of course, I just thought I'd go over again. The safest way to invest, guys, is to use exchange-traded funds that focus, first of all, as opposed to buying individual stocks. I like individual stocks. I do it sometimes. There's no doubt about it. I've had some huge successes over the years doing it, so I'm not going to give that up. But if you're looking to manage your risk, which is what this show is about, then you can really build a beautiful portfolio by identifying trends that you want to be involved in over a 3 to 5 year period and own the ETFs of those trends. You don't have to own the individual stocks. You can develop really great performance that beats the market averages by owning the right groups that follow the right trends and using ETFs to do it. So, here are my favorite groups right now. It doesn't mean you should do that. I got to stress this over and over again on these calls. I'm sharing with you what I'm doing with my capital on my desk. It doesn't mean that you should do it with your money. These are just thoughts. This is my whiteboard. You got to do your own research and just determine for yourself what you want to do from a risk management standpoint. If you need help with that, feel free to call me. The phone number is right there on the website. RosenthalCapital.com. The number is 561-575-6832. I'd be happy to sit down and chat. But short of that, let's be clear. Don't take what I'm telling you today about groups that I'm following as gospel for something you should do. I'm just sharing information, and then you do your own research and your own work. But having said all that, my favorite groups, not necessarily in this order, or but maybe. I mean, cannabis is my favorite group. The marijuana stocks are here to stay. They're incredibly volatile. It's difficult to trade them, difficult to own them. But I look to buy them on weakness because I think over time they're going to help me increase my net worth in a meaningful way. And I also think there are opportunities in the 5G rollout. So there are ETFs that focus on that. Think of ETFs that hold like Qualcomm or any of the other big 5G names. I think cybersecurity is a major, major important part of anybody's portfolio in the world we live in today. Talk about millennial markets and millennial issues. There's nothing more millennial of an issue than cybersecurity. And some of these companies, individual companies, are having blowout earnings announcements. So cybersecurity ETFs are important. I still think there's room to grow in the cloud/software as a service trend. So I look for ETFs that focus on software stocks that are involved in that space. And to round it out, I really think big data and big data mining is a trend that's important going forward. And so I look for big data mining companies, and then I look to find which ETFs own them. You can go to ETF.com to do this type of research. You can just literally plug in the stock that you like, and it'll tell you which ETFs own it and what size. And that'll kind of get you on the path of which ETFs you want to own. So I hope this has been informative and helpful today. I know it's a difficult day. Stay tuned on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report. I'll try to give you updates, see how this market closes and what it means for us. And I will be back here at 12 o'clock tomorrow to share. Tomorrow's the weekend. Hey, guys, enjoy the weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday. Have a safe day trading.